Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast. I'm releasing this one a little late because typically I record the intro and the outro in my car. I just like the acoustics. However, today, thank goodness, because I do live in the high desert, it has been raining and thundering and lightning for the past few hours. And so I've been waiting for my window of opportunity to record. And so here we are. Now, for our guest this week, it's Albert Bramante. And again, another person that I just basically cold called, and he said, yes, I'll be on your podcast. And once again, his story just reminded me that the second we step out of our door every morning and go out into the world, we really have no idea what could change in our lives, what the world will bring us, what new person, what new introduction, what new experience we'll have, an experience that might change everything. And Albert's interview and his story reminded me of this. And it was a good reminder and one that I needed, that this world is still full of surprise and it's still full of hope. So now, without further ado, here's my interview with Albert Bramante.
We then meet. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even at that time, I noticed some interesting notes here. We planned to meet up, but we met up by accident the first time. We were just passing by each other in the hallway on campus. And we just greeted each other like we knew each other. It wasn't like, hi, are you, you know, it was like, and we hugged and we talked. And as we were talking, I was noticing how I was feeling internally. It wasn't, I can't say it was romantic love. I don't think there was anything romantic there. But what I was noticing was, and this may be a hard, you know, thing for audience to grasp. Every time she smiled, it was like an angelic smile. It was like, you know, like I felt euphoric. I've never experienced it ever. Now, the second one, Miracle, is a story that rocked my world when I was, you know, 30 years old. So I was in the middle of my PhD program, and it's an online school. So, but in order to maintain accreditation standards, we had to do multiple residencies throughout the time. And it was like 500 hours of face-to-face time. So the first one was a 2-week stint in Minneapolis, and it was at the University of Minneapolis, where we had to, you know, attend classes. You know, it was like classes all day long, seminars all day, workshops all day long. So at that time, and this is going to date me, this is when MySpace was available. We all remember MySpace. Some of us may. But anyway, my school had set up a MySpace group for Walden. You know, it was like, what's going on with school, Walden University? So it was for this particular residency, because it was all different disciplines. It was not just psychology. It was education, business, nursing, and all that. And it was just kind of a way to connect, roommate share, all of that kind of thing. So I started talking to this lady from California who was going for her PhD in education and leadership. She was a teacher for many years and wanted to become school sort of supervisor. So we started chatting, and it was not anything romantic. It was pretty much a nerdy chat. I mean, we were talking about educational theories. We were talking like really, you know, literacy programs. It was nothing like anybody would find who was not in our field exciting. But we were different fields in different parts of the country, different ages. He was considerably older than me and than I was. So we then, you know, she was going to come the second week of the residency because that was in her program. So I went down there and I started giving her some tips. I said, you know, when you get here, do this, this, and this. We then meet. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even at that time, I noticed some interesting notes here. we planned to meet up, but we met up by accident the first time. We were just passing by each other in the hallway on campus. And we just greeted each other like we knew each other. It wasn't like, hi, are you, you know, it was like, and we hugged and we talked. And as we were talking, I was noticing how I was feeling internally. It wasn't, I can't say it was romantic love. I don't think there was anything romantic there. But what I was noticing was, and this may be a hard, you know, thing for audience to grasp. Every time she smiled, it was like an angelic smile. It was like, you know, like I felt euphoric, like she were a crush or a smile. I've never experienced that ever. So I remember walking, even going back when the conversation was over, saying, what was that? Because I was like, she had the smile of an angel. So the next day we were chatting again, and we were going to get together because a group of people put together, like, let's go out to dinner at this pub. You know, there were like 10 to 12 of us that were all different programs. We're just going to get together, and she was going to go. And at first she wasn't going to go because she said she had a headache, which is going to be a precursor to what I think happened a few weeks later. But she was saying she had a bad, really bad headache. But she wound up going, and we sat next to her. We were all chatting in a group. And again, this isn't going to date me, but we had cameras, but it was those cameras at that time, you know, for a long distance ago, we actually had to get them developed, you know, wait a week. So, and I was never much of a picture taker. I really didn't like my picture taken. But I said to myself, I said to her, I said, I want to take a picture with you. Which was really out of character for me. And we did, we took a picture. And I remember walking back, again, walking back to my room saying, what the hell is up with me? And we take a picture. It was like kind of like mocking myself. What's gotten into me? Anyway, we didn't get to see each other the rest of the time. It was like a really intense few days. So we started texting each other on the airport. This is on a Saturday. I'm going to start mentioning the days because this is kind of giving in context of what happened. So we started texting each other Saturday in the airport, going back and forth about, like, yeah, we're sorry we didn't get to see each other more. Let's reconnect, you know, because I was at that time I was going to go to the American Psychological Association convention in San Francisco, California, which was 45 minutes from her. So we had agreed that, you know, for maybe an entire day, we would just get together. She would introduce, you know, show me around. We'd have dinner and reconnect. So we were talking all about that, getting excited about that. Sunday night rolls around. She's going, she had a hard time at the convention. Something went through. She went through her, you know, had kind of a and I don't want to discuss her business, but hadn't had a, you know, a momentary lapse in judgment. So we were, I was kind of talking her through that. And we spoke for like 3 hours on the phone, almost 3 hours. And at the end of the conversation, so it was Sunday night, she said, I love you, Albert. And I turned around without even thinking, saying, I love you too. Hung up the phone. I didn't even think anything strange about that. So the next, yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have lengthy text conversations that even on MySpace Messenger, talking back and forth, and we and starting every conversation was, hey, I love you. And it wasn't just love you, it was like, I love you, and I love you too. And I started looking forward to these messages. The last conversation that I had with her, we had another deep conversation, and she said to you, do you, you know, last question to me was, do you think I'm a, like, in her perspective, do you think I'm a bad person? And I responded back, absolutely not. I think you're incredible. And so this is Friday. Now, I had to go to New York because I was presenting at another conference, psychology conference in New York. So I was very nervous, and she was giving me a pep talk Thursday night. You got this. Let me know how it goes out. Friday rolls on the conference. I don't hear from her. Now, she was going to go to the family, so I assumed she was very busy with family. Saturday rolls around. I still don't hear from her. It's like it was my second day of conference. It's Saturday night in July. I log into MySpace, and I see a message from somebody I don't recognize with, please call me, in all caps. Okay, so I call her. And she's like, you know, when was the last time you spoke to Mary? I said, 2 days ago. And she said, how did she sound? And I'm thinking, like, this is odd. Okay, sounds great. Mm-hmm. Well, she's like, I'm sorry to say, but Mary passed away. And I think You know that feeling of sleep paralysis sometimes when your mouth can't move, when you just wake up? That's how I felt. I was locked. I think I was able to mutter out what happened, because all I heard the next was she was with her family. You know, she was in the middle of conversation. She was, you know, started to laugh and just passed out and never came to and died. And I was frozen. And I remember hanging up the phone saying, you know, to my family, you know, my friend at Walden just passed away. And everyone was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I went to bed. I was just numb. I woke up and I was crying in a fetal position, wailing. Now, for months, I couldn't have a conversation or even look at a picture without crying. So I was having an immense grief reaction. And I think intellectually, the pragmatic side of me was like, what the hell is going on here? This is a woman who I don't even know. Less than a month. If you talk about the month, that's the time we started talking, and the moment she passed, it was not even a month. Why am I reacting this way? So a few weeks after her passing, her friend, you know, reached out to again, say, how are you doing? I said, I'm having a hard time. She's like, well, I want to let you know a few things. She's like, you know, she's like, I don't mean to upset you, but you were number one on her contact list. Her name, you know, like on her list. She couldn't stop raving about, you know, her friend Albert. And that really got to me, it affected me too. I was like, oh no. Her kids reached out to me saying, you know, her teenage children at the time reached out to me and said, you know, my mom couldn't stop talking about you. I thought I would introduce myself to you. It doesn't end there. So I posted a tribute, like an online message board about her with a picture and saying, you know, thank you. You know, I'm really distraught. And I wrote a ton of that out, how she really helped me and how much I thought she was a good person. A few months later, I get an email with the subject line, thank you. And it read, by the way, I'm Mary's half sister. We were estranged, but after reading her post, I reconnected with her family. And I'm now in, you know, my niece and nephew's life. That changed things. So now I started thinking, like, maybe he has no, because I was angry for a long time. Why would you, you know, give me this connection, universe, and take it away from me? And what I started to realize the lesson was, well, maybe it's not entirely about you. Maybe I was also there helping her out on her way out. And now I'm thinking that maybe that angelic smile was because she was, transitioning or about to transition. So that changed my view about things, you know, tremendously.
Everyone, I hope you loved the interview, and I hope you really appreciated Albert opening his heart up and telling this really powerful but also very devastating story of meeting someone that he didn't even know and wasn't expecting, but who changed his entire life. And what I thought was especially powerful was that even after her passing, their relationship was still changing other people's lives. And I guess that just goes to show that we never really have any idea of the ripple effects we're going to have in this life, even after we're no longer here. And that's kind of beautiful. And it gives me a lot of hope that all of the small contributions I make, all of the conversations I have, the gifts I might give my friends, that someday someone will think back on me and it might make them maybe think about the world in a different way or consider something else a little bit differently. So yeah, I love that part about Albert's story. A really powerful reminder that we can affect worlds even after we're no longer here. To read up on Albert and the work he's doing in this world, do click on the link in the episode show notes. And you know what? This week, I think I'll put a little link in there to my website. I'm launching a new podcast, hopefully within the next month. We'll see, crossing fingers and toes that that does happen. If not within the next month, then within the next 6 weeks. But that's all still a bit of a surprise, but there's a little hint on the website if you want to check it out. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Albert. Yes, time has passed. Yes, Albert has had a moment to reflect on his relationship, a moment to consider the ramifications, the meaning of his friendship, a friendship that was totally, by the way, unexpected, and one that took him completely unawares. And, you know, instead of becoming embittered and becoming sad and becoming angry at the world, Albert is facing outward with hope and faith and joy that the world still has beautiful things in store for him, while also holding this unexpected friendship that he developed in his heart. So be like Albert and greet every day with the hope and possibility that when you step out of your front door, something utterly magical, utterly miraculous, and astoundingly amazing is waiting for you out there. But you gotta leave your house, okay? That's the deal.